Out of God's Word, we're continuing on in our series in Luke's Gospel. We're in Luke chapter 9 this morning. We'll be reading together verses 23 through 27. Your bulletin has all those verses in there, 23 through 27. I'll be focusing this morning, though, mainly on verse 23. As we got to later on in the week, it was clear that this sermon would be focused particularly on verse 23. We'll pick up the rest of the passage next time. This will be kind of a part one and part two. So this morning I'll read all of this passage, but we'll be focusing mainly this morning on verse 23. Let's give our attention to the reading of God's Word. When he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we do pray that you would bless the reading and the teaching of your word, that your word, which you promise, will not return to you void, that your word will accomplish the purpose for which you've sent it. We pray that you would convict those in need of conviction, that you would comfort those in need of comfort, Lord, that you would open our hearts to receive this word from Christ, that we would receive it with our heart, that it would bear much fruit for your glory. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. There's perhaps nothing more frustrating than paying a great cost for something that turns out to be worth very little. This past spring, our family attended our first ever striped bass festival here in Manning. And we thought that it would be fun and inexpensive to just grab some of the fair food while we were downtown for dinner. Some of you should have warned us about this. We stopped by one of the stands there, and I think we ordered a few corn dogs, some chicken tenders, some French fries, a funnel cake, and a couple of lemonades. I should have known something was wrong when I didn't see any prices displayed on the menu, because when we picked up our dinner, the cashier said, "That will be $95. To which I said, "Excuse me, what? Is this some sort of scam? Is this some sort of joke?" "No, that will be $95. Now, rather than make a scene, I just took out a small loan and I paid the man the criminally overpriced price for the food and I delivered it back to my family. I said to Allie, "You'll never believe how much this food was." And she said, "What was it, 30 bucks? "No. 40? No. It couldn't have been 50. $95 for this fair food. Way too much to pay for something worth so little. Well, as we approach our passage this morning, we find Jesus explaining to his disciples the great cost of discipleship, the great cost of following him as their Lord and Savior. In the previous passage, Christ has just explained to the disciples the cost that he was about to pay as their Savior, the cost of redemption. Saying in verse 22, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." Christ walked the path of suffering. He walked the way of the cross for us. He paid the ultimate cost for us. And what he wants his disciples to understand here, what he wants us to understand now, is that to follow him is to follow his path. The way of the cross, there is a cost to discipleship. There is a cost to following Jesus. But the cost of following Jesus is nothing compared to the great gain of following Jesus. So we see here in this passage, it's not like the example that I just gave you. It's not as if you pay this great, immense cost for something worth so little. In fact, you actually gain something, the only thing, supremely, eternally valuable. In fact, it's those who pay a great cost and are left with nothing. It's those actually who are seeking to gain the world who pay that great ultimate price and gain nothing. See, there's a great contrast in this passage that we need to understand. A contrast, a comparison between a life spent following Christ and a life spent gaining the world. Both of those ways of life have a cost to them. Here's the difference. Following Jesus is always worth the cost. Gaining the world is never worth the cost. And so what we have in this passage is a bit of a cost-benefit analysis on the part of Christ. He wants his disciples, he wants us to understand, yes, the cost of following him as our Savior, the cost of gaining the world, and then be persuaded in the depths of our souls of the surpassing worth, the surpassing value of following Christ. That to follow Christ is an infinitely better path. This morning we'll deal primarily with the cost of following Christ, found in verse 23, before next week we'll deal with the rest of the passage and find the cost of gaining the world. This morning we'll deal with primarily the cost of following Christ given to us in verse 23. Why don't you look back there with me in verse 23? It says, "And he said to all, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" Many are surprised by the fact that there's a cost to following Jesus. And this is because for many of us, Christianity has been presented to us as somewhat of an a la carte, individualistic experience. The Christianity is like going through the buffet line, that you take what you want and you leave the rest. Yes, I'll take some forgiveness of sins. I'll take some peace of conscience. I'll take feeling better about myself, some social capital, a church that meets all my felt needs. And oh yes, I'll take some going to heaven when I die. All the rest of it, you can keep. The idea that somehow trusting in Jesus by becoming his disciple by faith that actually places demands upon our lives is in many ways a foreign concept in modern evangelicalism. Now, here's what this does not mean. Perhaps what some of you are thinking now, what this does not mean is that the cost of following Jesus Christ is a price of admission. That in order to get the salvation that Jesus has, you have to pay the cost. That's not what we're talking about. It's not a rejection of God's free grace. It's not a way to earn your salvation. It's not a way to put yourself in God's good graces. The cost of discipleship simply means that when you repent of your sins and turn in faith to Jesus Christ, when you're saved by his free grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, when that happens, your life no longer belongs to you. Your life belongs to Christ. We'll say more about that in a moment. But when you're brought from darkness to light, when you're saved into a loving relationship with your Savior, you're now called to follow your Savior, to be a disciple. You're called to live according to his word, to, yes, obey him. You don't obey him in order to be saved. You obey him because you have been saved by his free grace, and you've been filled with his Holy Spirit who empowers your obedience. This is the cost of discipleship, living out of the reality that your life does not belong to you anymore. Notice that this is a comprehensive statement here. Christ said to all, if anyone would come after me, literally, if anyone has the desire, if anyone wants to come after me, he does not say that if you want to be a serious Christian, if you want to be a mature Christian, if you're an older Christian, if you're a younger Christian with the energy, he says, if anyone wants to be my disciple, if anyone wants to follow me, if anyone wants to come after me, see, beloved, the cost of discipleship is not just for a special set of super Christians. It's for all Christians. Every one of you here today, no matter where you are at in your life, if you call yourself a Christian, Everybody has the responsibility to follow the call of Christ here, to embrace the cost of discipleship. Well, what's the cost? What does Jesus say? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In order to follow Christ, you must deny yourself. It's not an option. It's a command. It's an imperative in this passage. What must signify a follower of Christ? Self-denial. Well, what is self-denial? In many ways, it's just the first step of faith. It's coming to the realization that, believe it or not, you are not the center of the universe. It means turning away from our obsession with ourselves. It means turning away from your love of sin that flows out of your love of self. It means turning away from your vain attempts at self-salvation and self-justification that you engage in to cover up what's going on inside of your heart. In short, it means abandoning, denying, forsaking all hope in yourself, and instead placing your faith and trust in Christ. You see, before you're truly ready to follow Christ, you must give up following the desires of your own heart. Before you can truly begin trusting in Christ, you must give up on trusting in yourself. And beloved, the reason that Christ begins here with self-denial is because he knows at a heart level that one of the worst things that sin has done to us as creatures is to turn us inward. To turn us towards ourselves. Our sin nature makes us incredibly self-centered. And to make matters worse, because sin also blinds us, we fail to see our self-centeredness for what it is. We're really good at identifying the self-centeredness and selfishness in other people. We fail so often to see it in our own hearts. But here's the reality. In our sin, we are self-centered creatures living in a self-centered culture where the highest cultural value is not placed on self-denial. The highest cultural value is placed on self-exaltation with making much of yourself. The spirit of our age is self-exaltation, that your opinion, your needs, your desires, your comfort, your goals, you matter most. And this is poison for your walk with Christ. It's poison for the church. Because when self-centeredness comes to church, it completely undermines the mission and purpose that we actually have as the people of God, which is to deny ourselves for the sake of Christ and his kingdom, to gather and lay our lives down for one another, to lay our lives down for the cause of Christ. But self-centeredness so easily seeps in. Not because it's out there and it comes and gets us, but because it's in our hearts. This idea that somehow that what matters most in the church is my program, my idea, my opinion, my ministry, my family, my event, my way of doing things. Me. We fail to see this in our own hearts. But this is where so much strife comes from in our lives as Christians. This is where so much strife comes from in the church. It's an obsession with self. As R. Kent Hughes writes, commenting on this passage, self-focus is a part of the modern evangelical identity. This is why an increasing number of evangelical Christians care little about the glory of God or reaching out to a lost world. For them, Christianity exists to enhance their lives, their marriages, their bank accounts, their prestige. But to bear the cross, to pay a price for standing for Christ, no thanks. Beloved, we need to repent of this. We need to repent of this. As a church and as Christians, Christ calls us to a better way. In fact, he calls us to the only way to actually follow him, to deny ourselves for the sake of him and his kingdom. And there's so much freedom and peace in this path. There's so much freedom to saying, you know what? I don't know best. What I want does not matter most. My opinion is not ultimate. I can't save myself. No one needs to bow down and worship me. I trust in Jesus for everything, and all I want to do is lay my life down to glorify him. Oh, there is freedom and joy in that path. To say with John the Baptist in John 3, he must increase and I must what? Decrease. What is the cost of discipleship? Our obsession with ourselves must die. It has to die before we can truly follow Christ. We must relinquish all hope in ourselves, and as Christ says here, pick up our cross daily and follow him. What does this mean to pick up our cross? What does that mean? As a point of correction, perhaps you've heard that term, bearing your cross. Your cross does not just refer to any minor inconvenience or difficulty that you happen to experience as a Christian. Maybe you've heard that, oh, it's just my cross to bear. They were out of sweet tea at Walmart. I got a flat tire this past week. My knees are acting up again. It's just my cross to bear. Now, what Christ is referring here is to something very specific. He's referring specifically to the suffering experienced by the faithful Christian for the sake of him and his name. You see, the cross was a symbol of suffering and rejection. Even before Jesus went to the cross, the Jews of this day would understand exactly what Jesus is talking about. The cross was the symbol of suffering and rejection. We bear our cross by identifying ourselves, by taking on to ourselves the symbol of our suffering Savior. To bear the cross, we must come to grips with the reality that the purpose for our lives is not to be comfortable, healthy, wealthy, or blessed. The purpose of our lives is to follow our Savior in a life of suffering for the sake of his glory and for the sake of his name. If you are a Christian, this is the story that you're in. It's not the story of how you get all the things that you want out of life and die comfortably. It's the story of how your life is poured out as a living sacrifice for the sake of Christ and his kingdom, for his glory. If you were to ask me what one of the greatest threats and challenges facing the modern church and modern Christians is, especially here in America, it's that many people who call themselves Christians want nothing to do with actually following Christ. They want nothing to do with Christ's call to costly discipleship. They want nothing to do with self-denial. They want nothing to do with obedience. They want nothing to do with suffering. They do not want to bear the cross. They're obsessed with themselves, in love with the world, and Jesus is just this supporting character in their story of self-actualization. That's the story that so many of us think that we are in. We want all of the things that we want out of life, and Jesus is meant to be the one who gives it to us. In other words, so many people who call themselves Christian, if you just look into the condition of their hearts, if you just look at the testimony of their lives, many so-called Christians do not live like Christians at all. Not by the standard that Christ himself gives us here. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. To follow Christ, please hear this, to follow Christ, we must give up our dreams of the good life. We must give up our dreams of what we think the good life is. We must give up on a story that we want for our lives, the story of minimum pain and maximum comfort. We must turn away from our love affair with sin, our love affair with the world, and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, asking Him to forgive our sins, to change our hearts, and to give us new desires. Desires for Him and for His kingdom. We must grasp onto with a white knuckle grip the cross of Christ, to find in the cross our great hope of salvation, and to find in the cross the story for our lives, the path that we follow. The story of the cross is the story that we're in. Christians around the world and across the ages have known this. The story of the cross. It's the story of the martyrs who gave their lives, who were sawn in two and thrown to lions for the cause of the gospel. It's the stories of missionaries who go overseas and give up all the comforts that we hold so dear, the comforts that we cling to, who give up in many ways, sometimes their own lives for the cause of Christ. It's the story of pastors who preach the gospel, who actually preach about sin and repentance, and who lose their jobs because that's not what we need to hear about. We don't need to hear about sin. We don't need to hear about repentance. We need to be encouraged, inspired. It's the story of parents who teach the gospel faithfully to their children and raise them to actually value eternal things. Parents who don't want what the world wants for their children. Parents who don't care if their child is the next sports superstar, academic genius, or musical prodigy. Who just want their kids to know their Savior. Who want their kids to follow Jesus. To live for His glory, no matter what suffering that brings in their life. See, beloved, to bear one's cross is to follow Christ. It's to say, I want Christ's path to be my path, the path of suffering to glory, because that's where Christ is, and I want Him. To say in your heart, I don't care what happens to me here in the 80 years that I'm here. I want to follow Jesus. To say with Paul in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, friends, this is the cost of discipleship found in the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have been born again, the old you has died. That old story of self-obsession and self-exaltation, it's gone. It's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. Here's the good news. What did Christ do for a self-centered, self-obsessed people like us? He went to the cross for us. He went to the cross for our obsession with self, for our self-centeredness. He paid the price for our sinful, rebellious love of self. Christ gave up His life. He took up His cross. He bore our sins in His body on the tree so that what? We may die to sin and live to righteousness. And so now you are called as a disciple by the power of Christ who lives in you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow in the footsteps of Christ for the rest of your life. Because on that path is the joy of knowing Christ. And the promise, the blessed promise of eternal life and glory in Him. I'll leave you with the encouragement of Colossians 3:2-4. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Live for that day, beloved. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, merciful Father, forgive us. We so often descend into obsession with self, into self-centeredness. We presume, Lord, that all of our priorities are your priorities, Lord, that somehow you revolve around us. Lord, we shudder to bear the cross. In many ways, we're ashamed of that idea of having to live a life of suffering, of having to live a life bearing the cost of discipleship. Oh, Father, I pray that you would convict us of that sin, that you would expose our hearts, that you would show us, Lord, that the surpassing worth of following Christ. Give us, Lord, the desire by your Spirit to follow Jesus, no matter where that may lead, to see that to bear the cross is indeed to wear the crown. Oh, work this in us, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.